Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Victory Tuesday, Cowboy Zone. Here, you're with Ashley Baker, Josh Benson. What's up, Josh?
What's up?
What's going on?
What's good? What's good? How you doing? How you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited. Cowboys Nation is 13-2. We have a special guest on with us today, Mr. Brian H. Waters. He is a part of the Fox Sports 1340 AM family. Hey, Brian, how are you? He's part of Cowboys Nation too, everybody. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, and thank you for pronouncing the name in that oh-so-wonderful intro.
You know, we got to do
what's
you right,
good,
man. We got to do you right, man. So we getting right into it because this was a week full of surprises. This was a week full of clinches.
Yep.
It was just a lot that went on. So we jumping right into it. Cowboys, 13-2. Did anybody see that coming? Beginning of the year, 13-2. Anybody see that coming?
I mean, I did. I mean, you got the greatest quarterback. I mean to get on a soapbox or nothing. But anytime you got Dak Prescott at the helm, I mean, your odds are pretty, you know, high. So I saw it happening.
Listen, Brian, you're going to go through this a whole lot on the show with him, all over that.
Oh, I know. I listen to every show, so you know.
Right, that's true. This is what he does. So did you anticipate this at the beginning of the season, Brian, 13-2?
Well, let me tell you something, Ashley and Josh. I believe that at that time when there was stated, I was on the phone with Ashley, and we were sitting there talking, having a great conversation, because folks who don't know, we usually talk every day. And then, boom, the news came through. All of a sudden, they stated Tony Romo was hurt, and I remember to this day the scream of disappointment. And I never want to hear one of my best friends, Ashley Tudor Baker, scream like that again. But it was also screaming. I remember one of the things she said was, God, it's bad. Can't stay healthy for beeps. And I said, it's okay.
Really?
We got Dak Prescott. Let me tell you something about Dak. I said Dak was a beast at college.
He took
Alabama to the limit. And he was a Heisman candidate.
In the first year.
And that's when I said 13-2. No. I didn't think 13-2. Maybe. But I did think at least 10 to 12 wins. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Listen, this is not going to be the Dak show, okay? Let's get into this. Let's get into this recap.
First of all, it wasn't a Dak. It was just about letting you know there was no need to be disappointing.
Tony Romo went down. Don't act like that y'all was just completely 100% sold on Dak off of three or four preseason games. I mean, listen, he looked great. We all know he looked great. Listen, we're going to get into that later. Let's get into this Monday Night Football game.
You need to say something and then start to shut up.
Because this is not about to turn into the Dak Prescott show, man. I mean, I love Dak. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this ain't about to turn into the Dak Prescott show.
Before we do that, all I'm saying is the reason why I was convinced not to be biased, because I know a lot of people, they read the articles I write, and they be like, oh, you know, you're Dak Prescott journalist. No, that's not the case. But not to be biased or anything, what he did in the preseason, the numbers that he put up in the preseason, yes, I know it's only preseason. But, you know, I hate when people say that, because if a team lose all their preseason games, people don't say, oh, it's only preseason, the Bears will be okay. No, they don't. They say, uh-oh, this is going to be an outlook on the season. So Dak Prescott, what he did in the preseason when Tony Romo went down, I think a lot of people in Cowboy Nation, and even the Cowboys themselves, they were pretty satisfied with his production. They didn't go out there and get Michael Vick. They didn't make a trade for Sam Bradford
the
Vikings did when their quarterback went down. They stayed with Dak Prescott, and the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be is 13-2, and that is all I got to say.
Let's talk about Monday night. Let's talk about Mr. Dak Prescott taking on, and those Dallas Cowboys, taking on the Detroit Lions in Jerry World last night. Dallas won that game 42-21. Again, they improved to 13-2 on the season. Takeaways, guys. Josh, let's start with you. what's your takeaway from the game? I mean, what stood out the most? I mean, were there any concerns that you had?
I started with the concerns first. One of my first issues that I had with Dallas, and this is something they're going to have to improve on, and I wrote about this earlier today, a couple of things that bothered me about this Dallas game. They did not own the time of possession. Yes, it was pretty close, 30-43, Detroit 29-17, Dallas, but they didn't own the time of possession, and that kind of bothered me. In the first half, they were really shaky on that offensive line. They had false starts at home, and that's something that, you know, theoretically you're not supposed to have as the home team. You're not supposed to have a false start. So they had 8 penalties worth 47 yards in regards to that. So that's something they definitely want to tighten on. That they went into halftime tied 21-21, and then their defense decided to wake up. And they decided to step up and keep Detroit from doing anything. But at first, they was kind of letting, you know, Detroit's running back do whatever they want to do. As far as the positives go, I mean, of course, we can, you know, say shout out to Dak Prescott. He was 15 for 20 from not from the field, because this isn't basketball. But he was 15 and 20, on cover ball. So, I mean, right. He was 15 for 20 on 212 yards with 3 touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott did his thing. He did not have 100 yards, but he did have that one long yard for 55. Nice to see, you know, McFadden, you know, kind of jumping in there with 14 carries.
He looked solid. He looked
really
solid. Yeah, he did.
And shout out to Dez Bryant as well. He trended on Twitter, not because he dropped the ball, but Dez Bryant actually was catching balls last night, had a touchdown. He actually threw a touchdown pass. So overall, I mean, the game definitely played in Dallas's favor. But those few things that I mentioned, again, the penalties is something they want to clean up on. Some of the three and out situations they had in the first half was a little bit ridiculous. It was kind of like Dallas was kind of beating themselves in the first half. I'm not sure if they were a little jittery or what that was. But when you look into the playoffs, just moving forward just a little bit, those are things the Cowboys want to tighten up on, because when you're playing teams like the Giants, when you're playing a Seattle Seahawks type team, when you're playing a game where it's one and done, it's not a, oh, well, we got, you know, week 4, 15, week 16, like this is it. Those are the type of things quarterbacks like Eli Manning, quarterbacks, you like out there in Seattle, don't Russell Wilson, those are the types of teams that you don't want to do those types of mistakes against, because those veteranship type teams, they definitely capitalize on those opportunities. And that's what scares me a little bit with the Cowboys. What about you, B? What did you see?
Well, what I saw last night was a game that on paper did not matter, but to the Dallas Cowboys offense, it mattered a whole lot. And you know, having Ezekiel Elliott on the team, I don't think anybody was excited as I was when I watched the 2016 NFL draft and I saw that Zeke was coming to Dallas. The only thing I was not excited about was the crop top. But I have to say, last night's matchup was just, I mean, people, we got to remember the Lions have been the comeback kings up until they faced those, them blue guys up in New York. They've been the comeback kings for weeks. So when you look at a guy like a Matthew Stafford, people, you know, a lot of people like to call him an elite quarterback. You know, I think he's a stat sheet filler without a doubt. But for Dallas offense to go out there and do what they had to do, and then the defense to finally wake up and say, you know what, maybe this does matter. It was awesome. Let's keep the momentum going. But I have to admit, every snap I was watching, not to be a show spoiler, but I was on eggshells, Ashley, Josh, you know, I was on eggshells, and I just hope that, you know, Josh Vincent will not be writing on www.foxsports1340am.com that the Cowboys experienced a setback such as the Tennessee Titans or the Oakland Raiders did.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and I'll say my takeaways from it was, you know, I mean, the second half was definitely the entire team's strongest half. The first half, you know, I wasn't really feeling the defense. Like you said, they had to wake up. And I read something earlier where it actually took Sean Lee to pretty much use a lot of colorful words to that defense to wake them up. I mean, they gave up 21 first-half points. And what you don't want to do is go into the playoffs against, you know, these high-powered offenses and get into a shootout. Like, I'm very afraid that Dallas is going to try to get into a shootout with one of these teams. And, you know, again, I've been saying, you know, the defense's motto is bend but don't break. And, you know, it's playoff. The atmosphere is different. The pressure is different. And I just don't want them to be in that situation where they're at, you know, in a shootout and the defense can't really handle it, because you're not going to be able to – given somebody like Green Bay 21 first half points, they're scoring more in the second half. I don't think that our defense is at that level where you can stop a Jordy Nelson, you can stop, you know, Randall Cobb, you can stop, you know, Aaron Rodgers moving around in the pocket like that. So you definitely want to tighten up on that defense, and you don't want to have to have one person tell you that halftime when you should really, that should just be what it is. From, you know what I'm saying, kickoff at the beginning of the game. You know, again, offense looked great second half. Like you said, a little shaky in the first half, Josh. But Ezekiel Elliott, man, he is just, you know, Zeke really makes it fun to watch. I mean, Dak is great, and I know y'all are on the Dak bandwagon, man, but there is something special about Ezekiel Elliott. There's something that is why Ezekiel Elliott is trending way more than any other player on the Dallas Cowboys on your Twitters, and he's being talked about more on Facebook and, you know, Instagram. He is just something, you know, really, really special. And, you know, he has the opportunity to break Eric Dickerson's record. I think, you know, if they decide to play the starter, when they play Philly on Sunday, do you guys think he'll break that record? Let me just get that real quick. Do you think it's 168?
I think it's like 160-something plus or minus yards.
178. It's 178.
178. 178. Do you guys think that he'll make that? Yo, he got to run. You think he'll do it?
I hope not.
Right. I don't think so. I mean, when you talk about during
a
regular season.
That's a lot of touches.
That's a lot of touches. And my thing would be, if this Philadelphia game is so meaningless as everyone making it, I'm not one of those people that's saying sit everybody, but I am one of those people to say play just like a preseason game. Let Dak get a couple of touches. Let Z get a couple of touches. Maybe, you know, the first quarter, maybe the first quarter and a half. After that, right, there are reports right now coming out of North Texas that Mark Sanchez is actually going to be Dak's backup instead of Tony Romo.
Jerry doesn't want to risk injury, so, you know.
Right. You know, that Jerry guy, I tell you. But, let Sanchez come in. Let McFadden, get some touches. You know, let other people, kind of rock out against this Eagles game, because that game really is even more so meaningless for the Cowboys to play in. Really, you know, you wish they could just kind of skip that game completely. But, that's my thought on that. I would just say, you know, no, you would not want Zeke to have that many yards, because my question is, okay, cool, you break the record. In the end, in the grand scheme of things, what does that mean if you guys don't really play well in the playoffs and don't make it anywhere? What does that mean?
And you're of the same mindset, Brian, that you would hope that he doesn't, that, you know, he doesn't break the record, of course, on Sunday.
Unless you're telling me he going to get 3 rushes for 178 yards. I don't want to see him touch that ball no more than 10 times, man.
Right. Yeah, agree. I think we're all in agreement there. Yeah, I don't want to see Dak or Zeke really on the field after the first quarter. Honestly.
Okay, so what about the other starters? Do you play Dez? Do you think they keep Beasley, you know, in the game? I mean, you know, do you – because Dez is back.
He's back.
Dez is back. So do you think that they should, you know, those starters as well? I mean,
yeah,
this
slowly
is
we'll
a meaning,
them out the game.
Just like the, you know, there's a lot of meaningless games. This is a meaningless game, bottom line. So, I mean, I would be fine if they only played one quarter. I'd be fine if they didn't play at all. I know you. I mean, I don't want them to do that. I guess they got to stay in the rhythm. But you do not. Anything can happen.
That's true.
Anything. I don't want these guys playing too much football. Think about it. Philly is dirty. The Philadelphia Eagles are very dirty.
This is true. Shout out to Philly. Listen, for those Philadelphia listeners, again, you're tuned into Cowboy Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM. His name is Brian H. Waters. Don't send no hate mail over to Ashley Baker or Josh Vincent. Brian H. Waters. He call y'all dirty, shade, catch it, whatever, whatever.
All of that. All of that. Make a graphic.
This is truth.
I want them to know who to send the email to.
Look, you don't disrespect Santa Claus. Bottom line, you don't disrespect one of the greatest wide receivers ever to put on a Cowboys jersey. The first number 88 to become a legend, Michael Irvin. So, with that being said, like I said, you don't think they want to play spoiler? I mean, they hate us. Let's be real.
Yeah.
They hate us. You know, so, you got to keep your guys, you let them play a little bit, but then you rest them.
I mean, yeah, and
again. Get ready to face the, possibly the Lions or the Packers or Seahawks or the Giants, the Falcons, possibly the Bucks, the Redskins.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We got our spot
right.
set. We
yeah,
set at the table. We know we
all things go through Dallas.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's true. And I think I'd go the same way, just kind of. You know, I think Tyron Smith kind of went out with an injury last night, like a knee injury. You know, they say it's nothing serious, nothing significant. That was very scary to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's
But I'm happy he's sitting.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what it takes, I mean, he's fine, but if that's what it takes to make him sit, that's fine. That's Dak's left hand man. You do not want to risk anything happening to Tyron Smith. He is too good. He is too meaningful to this to that offensive line. So, you know, that made me a little nervous, and that did put me in a mindset of, all right, we need to start sitting people down. Let me jump into something different, kind of something different here. Dez Bryant, have a day, Dez. Dez had a great night. I was really excited to see Dez, doing what he, did. He, what was it, 4 catches? I'm supposed to have my stats out. He had 2 touchdowns. He threw 1 touchdown. And he had 4 receptions for 70 yards.
Yeah.
He balled out. Dez Bryant balled out. I've always been of the mindset. I've always wanted Dez. That was shade. He does it on the slide too, y'all. He does it on the slide too. It's not just me. I'm the mindset. I've always wanted Dez to be like the next Megatron. And I don't know where the hiccup has come in with, he's been in the league for like 5 or 6 years now, where that he just hasn't developed into that yet. He was that at one point. He was beast mode at one point.
Let's take Cowboys Zone Intelligence a step further.
Okay.
And understand this. As you people out there listening on Fox Sports 1340AM.com, make sure you tweet us at 1340AM Fox Sports. Sorry, Ashley, I had to throw out the pop.
Go ahead and throw that out there. That's fine.
Dez is coming off a foot injury. Foot injuries do not heal fast. Remember that. Let's not forget that guy who defected the greatest point guard in the league right now, Russell Westbrook, that guy being the name of Kevin Durant. Let's not forget how long it took him to finally become KD again. Those foot injuries, and after Dez, I mean, in all honesty, when you really, I mean, hindsight being 2020, Dez should have sat the whole 2015 season.
Can I just throw something in there? And this is what me and Brian do, y'all. Josh, you know what I'm saying? Of course, go ahead and do this. That's fine, what you're saying, but Dez had that foot injury last year. He's in his 6th season. I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about, like, I'm not sure what happened in the development before that. Like, I'm expecting,
what you mean?
I mean,
2014, he was the best wide receiver in the game. You can't tell me he wasn't.
Right, that's before.
But then the foot injury happened.
It did not How long has Odell Beckham been beast mode? Since his first year? Exactly. That's my point that I'm trying to get at here, is that, I've expected him to be, like, when we have a conversation about elite receivers, there are many people that I've had conversations with that don't even have him listed as one of the elite receivers. Or
they
if I say give me top 5, they put him at 5. That's
because they don't have football intelligence. Because if they had football intelligence, they would understand it's not always about the stats. It's about the skill. Dez Bryant has the skill. Dez Bryant has the heart.
Does he?
What happened last year, yes. And what happened last year, it takes a long time to heal from a foot injury. That could have possibly been an injury he possibly could not have came back from, but he did, and that's the reason why it's the second half of this season where he's been back in to throw up the X as opposed to the first half.
Throwing down.
He wouldn't have played last year, then I promise you, when he came back in this season, he would have been the man. But he came back last year. He tried to make a run. You know, they were going to try to make a run even without Tony Romo. That's the reason. Those foot injuries, they don't – because let's think about it. You got to stay off of it. What's the one part of your body you have to use every day unless you have a wheelchair? Is your foot.
Good point. So, that's a good point. But I do see Ashley's point as well. Like when you do have conversations just with the general public, not necessarily like a fellow sports journalist.
Intelligent
minds.
Yeah.
When you have a conversation with just people in general as far as about who some of the best wide receivers in the game, a lot of people don't necessarily put Dez Bryant in that top five, or if they do put him in the top five, he is always number five. And I do think because it took him some time to get to the point to where he's at now. And you're right, sometimes we do forget about injuries and how that does affect the player's game. But, you know, in my personal opinion, I will say I want to see a little bit more from Dez. Dez needs to really make his presence known this postseason for me to, you know, go ahead and say, hey, Dez was just so great this season. Because
I mean, Dez,
the first half of this season,
he was considered Butterfingers.
He was, and then I would say this, the first half of this season, I mean, everybody was talking about throwing up the X. I was throwing up the question mark wondering where is Dez Bryant. Where is he? And people tried to make it like it was such a Dak Prescott issue, like, oh, well, he's not really trying to find Dez. Dez had an opportunity, like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, he had some nice yards this game. But let's talk about when it counted. When it counted against the Giants, when Dak threw it to Dez, Mr. Butterfinger, maybe it was cold. You know what I'm saying? That and the other pass when it was like towards the 2-3 minutes left in the game. So both of those passes, you know, oh, Mr. Butterfinger, he
didn't hold on to
the ball.
That was the wake-up call, though. That was the wake-up call.
I think so. I agree.
And ever since then, he's been lights out.
He's
just, like, the thing is, you know, people are so ready, no disrespect, but people are ready to throw DeAndre Hopkins back up in there, you know. When Dez Bryant didn't have – think about all those times Tony Romo was hurt, right? Dez was still doing his thing, you know, when who was the backup the year when they was 12-4. Dez was still doing his thing. They up there making jokes. You got Mike Freeman making jokes talking about DeAndre Hopkins became Johns Hopkins because Brock Osweiler, who they paid $32 million in guaranteed money, can't get him the football. You know, playmakers make it happen if you're healthy. That's
so
the reason why I said no. I'm not ready to crown a guy like what?
You're of the mindset that Dez, are we back to seeing dominant Dez? Going forward,
yes.
Brian, we are. Josh,
yes.
Would you agree?
Do you think that this behavior will
stay around? Do you think?
Look what that Bucks defense did to Russell Westbrook and his receivers. Russell Wilson and his receivers, right? And look what Dez did. You know, that Giants game woke him up. Said, look, I got to get back to being me. Because, quite frankly, Mr. Prescott showed that, hey, this offense will still flow without Dez, you know.
And that's true. That's valid.
And I know one of the things that I noticed was early, and this is, I know we talked about Dez, but one of the things I noticed early in this season was when Dak went to Dez and told him, no, run your routes properly. When he didn't bow down to him, that made Dez say, you know what, this is about, let's go. You know, and that's what
this is the same,
that Dez is about winning and not about me. He's about winning, unlike that guy named OBJ. And that's the reason why the Cowboys are going to move forward. And that's the reason why Dak Prescott is a leader.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If I could, I'll add on to that because I love singing his praises. Yes, you know, Dak Prescott did show that team, like, hey, I may be a rookie, but I know how to lead a team. You talk to anybody down there at Mississippi State, anybody down there, they will tell you that that's one of the greatest characteristics that Dak has. And even his brother said in a piece that's up right now on Fox Sports 1340 AM that his brother helped co-write, is that Dak has always been a leader. So you're right about that, that Dez did kind of get down and say, okay, cool, I am about team first. But to answer your question, Ash, and I'll let you jump back in, I want to see a little more from Dez, and if we can see a little bit of that in the Eagles game, again, I do know a lot of people not really going to be playing like that, you know, just considering all things considered, nobody wants to get injured. But I really want Dez to be just as impactful as Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, anybody else on that Cowboys team in these playoffs, because to be honest, when you look at the totality of things, if the Cowboys want to be successful against the Green Bay, against the Seattle, some of those teams, they're going to need all moving parts. You're going to need Dez Bryant to show up. And I need him to – I need the X to be thrown up, not question marks. Because one thing I will say, we did notice in the Giants game, is that when you neutralize Ezekiel Elliott, that Dallas Cowboys offense just start going off the rails. So I need Dak – I need Dak and Dez to be on the same page. I need Dez to be catching some balls, because if Ezekiel can't get those 100 yards and really be the threat that he can be, then this Cowboys team, it seemed like they just kind of fall off the rails. And we saw that twice in the Giants game.
And you would think, you know, going throughout the season, I was waiting for the title of three-headed monster to be associated with them, Dak, Dez, and Zeke. You know what I mean? For that title to be associated with them, and it just hasn't evolved because you're not getting that third monster in Dez yet. I mean, he's inconsistent. You know, he is up and down. He does drop balls. I do think moving forward that I'm going to agree with Brian that we this is probably the Dez that will stick around. Again, like you said, Brian, that Giants game woke him up. And as to say, this offense is going to move with or without you. So you need to be a part of it. I mean, I didn't expect Bryce Butler to step up the way he did. And Bryce Butler has kind of been balling when Dez is not on the field. When his number is called, he's been balling. You know what I'm saying? And that's the last thing you want, is for you to be the number one receiver. When you go out for a series or two and your replacement is in there balling out more than you. You know what I mean? So I definitely think that, you know, he's been, you know, he's been resurrected in a sense. Let's just say that with Dez. And another thing that I feel like has possibly been resurrected is this defense. Listen, the defense is averaging about 20 points a game. When the defense is clicking with that potent offense of the Dallas Cowboys, this team is literally unstoppable. And we saw that in the second half of last night's Monday Night Football game against the Lions. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Josh, they didn't allow any points in the second half of that game. As you mentioned earlier, Brian, the Lions have been, you know, the comeback team of the, you know, year. Matthew Stafford will get busy on you and conduct an aerial assault of his own. And the defense just didn't allow that to happen. I mean, he was pressured, sacked. They was all up in his face. David Irvin has just been balling out. What can we say about this defense? Are they looking Super Bowl contender-ish?
I wouldn't go that far just yet.
I would say everybody to say they ain't giving my boy no love. Y'all not giving my defense no love.
Look, I mean, this is the problem that I have with the defense. They are allowing too many things to happen in the first half, but then try to show up either in the fourth quarter when you talk about the Tampa Bay game where they shut Tampa Bay out, or they show up the second half like they did the Detroit game. And what scares me about this defense is when you're playing against somebody like Aaron Rodgers, when we saw a couple of Sundays ago against the Chicago Bears, when the Bears came back in that game, and Aaron Rodgers just threw that ball down the field, 50, 60-yard pass, put his team in prime position to kick a field goal and win that game in Chicago, one of the coldest games in Chicago history. When you're playing against somebody like Aaron Rodgers, you don't need to not show up in the first half. And that's what scares me moving forward. So, yeah, shout out to the defense. Cool, you guys picked off Matthew Stafford. Cool, you guys got a couple of sacks on Matthew Stafford. Shout out to, you know, the Cowboys defense for that. But I need you guys to show up again in the first half. Because if you don't show up in the first half against Aaron Rodgers, or let's say they make it to the Super Bowl, your boy Tom Brady, the defense don't show up against Tom Brady. It's going to be a 40-0 game at halftime. So the point that I'm making is I need the Cowboys defense to show me they can play the entire length of the game. Just like we're saying, basketball, don't just show up, you know, for one quarter, play all 48 minutes. I need them to play the entire length of the football game, and then I can give them props. But, hey, shout out. They did, you know, hold them down to you know, 0 points in the second half, but keep in mind, this is the same defense that gave up 14 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, and bend but don't break mentality, Brian. Are they Super Bowl contenders?
Josh, you're smarter than that. You're way smarter than that, Mr. Vincent.
Okay.
You know good and well that the Dallas Cowboys defense is going to show up. It was a – last night, what you saw was them playing like it was meaningless football. And something clicked and said, you know what, this game, we out here, let's play. Let's earn our paycheck. The thing is, one of the things is Rob Marinelli, he makes adjustments where they need to happen. And, you know, they're going to be fine. You have an emerging star in Irving. I did not know where this guy came from. But what you see is, he's ready, and him, Sean Lee is playing with a chip on his shoulder. He ain't getting elected to the Pro Bowl, but guess what? I'm 100% sure he didn't want to play in the Pro Bowl anyway.
Right.
So the secondary, could be scary, you know, can be a little suspect, but when they need to get it done, they get it done. And I'm confident that this defense can be, because what we've seen is they got better as the season progressed. You know, and, you know, you brought up Aaron Rodgers. One of the things is pay attention to the Vikings second half. You know, and there's this controversy about the Vikings and if the players decided to go in business for themselves because the play calls wasn't working, whatever it was, that's probably what happened. But they, you know, Nelson didn't do what he did in the first half. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to put it on record. I picked the Cowboys to win it all at the beginning of the season. I remember Ashley saying, you might be crazy about that one. But, you know, I'm sticking with it.
I would say this. The only two games in this whole entire season from week one to week 16 that I can recall, it was the Dallas Cowboys defense that was just so great. Was this game in the second half when they played Detroit, and was the fourth quarter when they played Tampa Bay? And perhaps you can say, well, they did keep the Giants only to 10 points back in week 11. But all the other games, it had absolutely nothing to do with Cowboys defense. And from week one all the way to, week 14 prior to them playing the Giants, it was all Dak Prescott and that offense and Ezekiel Elliott. There was a string of games where Ezekiel Elliott was averaging 100 and something yards. There was a string of games where Dak Prescott was looking like a superior, you know, quarterback, looking like a at one point. But what I'm saying is, when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys defense, look week by week. Where the Cowboys lost to the Giants in week one. I mean, it was a tight game versus the Redskins. I mean, the Cowboys defense blew out a helpless Bears at that time. It was a struggle against the 49ers. They was leading at halftime. It was the Cowboys offense that got them back going. They blew out Cincinnati, but that was a Cowboys offense thing. They blew out a helpless Green Bay. Again, that was a Cowboys offense thing. They struggled against the Eagles. They blew out the Browns. Yeah, again, those was all Cowboy offense games. That had nothing to do with the defense.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, you know, Dallas defeated the likes of Ben Roethlisberger. Now, the only game I would have to say that it was just way too much back and forth, that shootout kind of stuff that I'm afraid of that they can't do in the playoffs, was that Pittsburgh's game. I mean, they let Pittsburgh put up, 30 points, you know what I'm saying? And to the very end, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, it came down to the offense having to save that game. But the defense does have to create stops. And I'll even take it back to Thanksgiving, you know, where Josh and I went to Dallas. The Redskins had four red zone trips they only converted on one. That has everything to do with the defense. That has nothing to do with Dak and Zeke. They're not on the field at that time. You know
or
what I'm saying?
Can
I mean,
say
we
can
say
that had everything
say,
to do with the Redskins. That's what
true.
They do, though.
That's true. I'll say that, too. But again, I mean, you know, I'll throw that out there, too. You know, they don't do a whole lot of good red zone play calling. But, I mean, you have to stop. And, again, bend, but, you know, not breaking. They're only allowing opponents, on average, to score 20 points.
True.
They're 12th ranked defensively. You know what I'm saying? And I'm assuming that number has that they weren't 12. I'm pretty sure they weren't 12 3 weeks ago. I mean, they've definitely improved, specifically within these last 3 weeks. I don't know what Ron Marinelli has them doing or what rituals they got going on before the game or during halftime. Maybe Sean Lee is cursing them out a couple of times during the game and during halftime. I don't care, but it does appear that they have improved. And if they continue to improve, that is one unit I will say you do not take out to sit and rest the defense.
Oh, for sure.
Because they have way too much to work on. You definitely keep them in. You make them practice every single day on your bye week.
For sure. I don't believe
it. Yeah, you know,
again, just to make my point clear, I'm not saying that the defense is not improved. I'm not saying that the defense is not getting to a superior level. But to answer the question, are they playing like a Super Bowl type defense?
Do you think the second half of the Detroit game was Super Bowl?
Yeah, I would say for sure. That's something that I want to see the entire length of the game, as you just mentioned. When they played against the Giants and they held them to 10 points, or even the fourth quarter game that they had against the Buccaneers, that's the kind of defense I need to see throughout the entire game, and perhaps they can show us that game against the Eagles. If you go out there and let Carson Wentz go for 30, 35 points, even though it's a meaningless game for Dallas, and perhaps you have Mark Sanchez at the helm at that time, you know, if you go out there and let Philadelphia throw up 30, 35 points, I'm not feeling confident in this defense. And you got all your starters out there in the defense, I'm not feeling comfortable going into the playoffs saying, oh, yeah, let us play Aaron Rodgers. Let us play Eli Manning in the playoffs. Let us play Aaron Rodgers. Let us play Russell Wilson. I'm just by far confident, you know, that this defense is going to step up. No, of course not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I got it. Let's stay there. The as you mentioned, the Cowboys do play the Eagles this Sunday. You both pretty much agree that it's a pretty meaningless game. But, Josh, I need to know your three keys to success. You know, perhaps Dallas will either drop to 13-3 on the year to finish out the season, or they'll go to 14-2. So what are your keys to success? Really quick, 3 points.
Real quick, my keys to success, number one, everybody must come into this game healthy and walk away from this game healthy. I need Dak Prescott to be, you know, without a scratch. Same thing for Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, and everybody else. The second key, I really need the defense to really prove to Cowboys Nation, prove to everybody that they are legit. That's a key. I need them to contain Carson. They need to contain him. They need to definitely show that they are the superior team in the NFC. And then lastly, go out there and have fun, even though that's not really a key to success. But if you think about those moments that we've had this season throughout being in a Cowboys locker room, winning has always been fun, and you can even translate that to basketball. You've been in games where the Wizards won. You know, when a team is clicking, when a team is winning, everything is fun, and you see the jokes that, you know, Zeke and Dak play on each other all the time and things of that nature. Continue to have fun and embrace the moment, regardless of whatever happens in the playoffs, whatever happened in the postseason. Dallas is here to stay. They have done tremendous things through this regular season, and I really think that they should really embrace the moment and seize the moment.
Okay.
So that will be my 3 keys.
Perfect. And we touched on it earlier about, you know, certain starters or, you know, things like that with the starters resting. Brian, do you think that all the starters should rest on both sides of the ball, or you play some people here, you don't play some people here? I mean, what's your take on that?
First of all, I think anybody who is anybody who has any type of injury needs to sit.
Okay.
Bottom line, they shouldn't play. This game is in Dallas? No, it's in Philly.
Yes.
Yeah, so I surely don't want anybody who has any type of injury. You're going outdoor climate. We don't know what the weather's going to be like yet. Clearly, we're an indoor team. So, yeah. If anybody I want playing, I want people who, you know, who need to work on some things. I don't.
Brandon Carr.
I knew you was gonna say that. I kind of threw that oop, and
like,
I knew you.
Like
I knew you was gonna bring it home.
It's right.
Like
you assisted her.
It's just gonna come out. But go ahead.
You know, but yeah. So I do want Irvin playing because I still want him. He's a younger guy, so I want him to stay in that rhythm. So that's the way I would do it. But Zeke, no.
At 178, all. At any point. 100, at any point, he shouldn't play.
I really don't want him playing, but I understand if you give him a couple of reps. But he, no, you know, because he's already had, a, what, hasn't he had over 300 catches?
Yeah.
So the thing is, I mean, you know, he, the rookie, like, really, that record, Eric Dickerson, yeah, Hall of Famer, but how many Super Bowl rings do Eric Dickerson have? You know?
That's the trivia of the day.
We only talk about Eric Dickerson. And I know everybody talk about all the stuff he's did, but let's be real, we only talk about him for two reasons, and that's about that's when we talk about the rushing record for most yards in the season and the most yards as a rookie. That's it. You know, let's not talk about Eric Dickerson who played for the Colts now, you know. So, like you said, you know, and
he's so shady.
Let's be real. No, because,
be real.
Because every time that that record is almost, there's an attempt to break that record, you know, he's out there gloating. You know, he was gloating about Adrian Peterson. He's gloating about Jerome Bettis. Most legends want their records to be broken. Now, he wants to hold on to that because – that's his only relevance to the NFL. Yes, he was a Hall of Famer. I know.
Hate mail to Brian.
Again,
a.
Brian.
Waters.
A.
We
Walter.
Are not involved.
If you need us
I
to spell it out.
I was at a family barbecue. I ain't even here. I'm not sure.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, I know he puts I know, you know, I know he means a lot. Let me be real. I know he means a lot to the Los Angeles Rams organization, you know. Mm-hmm. But the only time our generation knows about Eric Dickerson and the generations after us is when at the end of the season when they're talking records. You don't see highlights of this guy. You don't see, like, he don't be putting the likes of Barry Sanders, who did all this he did without a line, or the greatest running back in NFL history with the most rushing yards in history. And he also wore a star named Emmitt Smith. You don't see Eric Dickerson's name in there. Not saying he wasn't great. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. Obviously, you can't tell the story of the game without him. But you only talk about it for two reasons. It's kind of like the 1972 Dolphins.
Well,
okay,
I feel him on that. No, I mean, Brian is saying everything that we all think, you know, that's true. I feel him on
that's
that.
Fine. Okay, so
I ain't gonna get invited back.
Right.
Brian, you're saying for the most part, with the weather and the conditions and all that good stuff, that the primary starters, the ones that make this offense and defense click, should sit. Maybe a couple reps here and there, they should sit. Okay, that's perfect. So the Eagles.
Oh, I sure don't want Sean Lee playing either.
Yeah, so I think that I'm going to have to go with, again, certain people. I think Jason Witten shouldn't play. He's earned a rest. Sean Lee has earned a rest. You know, of course, Tyron Smith won't be playing. That offensive line deserves a rest. I mean, they've been balling and giving it their all year. So I think for the most part that, you know, most backups, again, the defense stays on the field except Sean Lee. Everybody else, round them up. Matter of fact, if you can clone two or three Brandon Carrs, you need to have him out there for the entire game. But since we're not able to do that technology.
Can I say this right quick? I just want to let everybody – I just want to say this real quick. That's the reason why you guys didn't get invited to the Cowboys Christmas party, because y'all throw a lot of shade at them, and that's why I was invited. So, you know, I just so everybody is clear, you know, when y'all start seeing the pictures floating around on Twitter, like, oh, Josh, why we didn't get an invite? That's the reason why, because y'all are shame.
Ain't no shade. It's a Cowboy. That's some shade at Eric Dickerson.
Well, listen, darn it, I throw shade, and I don't care. You better catch it, and I don't care. So, listen.
You know, shout out to my City College brother who plays for the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Charles Tapper, unfortunately.
Oh,
you
man,
know,
we can't wait to get Charles Tapper back. Yeah, that's going to be so there's a lot of things that Dallas is going, you know, win or lose this season. There's some stuff that's going to happen, you know, on the offseason that's going to be dope. Offseason. speaking of off season, the Eagles obviously eliminated from playoff contention. They started off red hot 3-1.
Yes.
Have been trash and question mark ever since. But they did Dallas a favor and beat the Giants, and that is what allowed Dallas to clinch the number one seed, home field advantage, you know, that first round bye, all that good stuff, by beating their division rival. I'm assuming that they're just going to want to definitely continue to build on that and, you know, into the off season. And, you know, so what are we looking to see from Philly? Like, what are they looking to build on? Like, you know, as far as this game, do you guys think that they'll even beat Dallas? I mean, who y'all think will win this game? I'm going Philly.
I hope Philly wins this game, honestly, because they should win this game, because there is no reason why Dak and Zeke should play this entire game. If they don't win this game and Mark Sanchez is up to him, I'm a little concerned for Philadelphia. But to answer your question, I think Philadelphia is in a good spot. Philadelphia reminds me of other teams in the NFL, such as a Tampa Bay. They are in a really great spot. You have a nice young rookie quarterback. You have a team that's continuing to build. I think they should go out into the draft and put a couple of more pieces around Wentz. They should definitely try to get some more people for him to throw it to. But, you know, Philadelphia, they already got a nice defense pretty much. I think Philadelphia is going to be decent. They're going to be one of those teams that you're going to continue to hear about to the years to come. And I'll even go as far as saying this. NFC East football is back. When you look at the Cowboys and the upside of them, you look at the Redskins, they're finally, you know, joining the party. You look at the Giants, they're always that team that kind of sneak in there like they kind of did this season. They went on that nice run for us here.
Josh is so optimistic, and he is so rah-rah-rah for the NFC East.
It's looking good. To be unbiased, I mean, look around the NFC East. You got Eli and the Giants, who could possibly beat the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they did it twice. Why not third? Why not three times? You look at the Redskins, too. If they handle their business on Sunday, they could very well be in the playoffs, I guess, depending on who wins or who loses. I don't really know the picture at this point. And you look at the Eagles. I mean, if they can get a couple of pieces for Carson to throw it to and their defense continue to get great, I mean, why not the NFC East? It's definitely better than the other NFC conferences, the NFC North. I mean, does that even exist? I mean, so that's
shade.
My point of view on it. I mean, look, I mean, when you look across
the
NFC.
We need a shell bait on Bill on the show. Like, when somebody throws shade, we need somebody to just be like, shade. And then you just
right, we need the automatic lady before the show starts. Shane, she needs to come on.
Right,
exactly.
Put that in the budget.
Right.
Put that in the budget.
In the budget.
Let me ask why. Eagles win or lose?
Josh said something so disrespectful. You know, he said that if they allow Mark Sanchez to beat them, like this man ain't go to two AFC championship games back-to-back.
He's a butt fumbler. Brian.
That was one play.
The man's a butt fumbler.
One play.
That is Dak Prescott's teacher. We'll give him that.
Very detrimental to Dak's growth, and Dak go to him quicker than he go to Romo. So I
will
give
him
is doing something great.
Romo is trying to take your job every time you fumble, you know. I wouldn't go to Rumble with Romo either. I wouldn't have Romo for $1 if I was at the vending machine.
Oh, okay, so
it's hard. I want to say Philly, but I just can't be surprised if the Cowboys win. I said Cincinnati was going to be a hiccup. I said Green Bay. I said Pittsburgh were going to be hiccups. Not necessarily. I said those teams were going to win, but I said they were going to give them trouble. And Dallas just went in there like, no, we belong here. And why not? I mean, guess what? Those secondary guys, they're NFL players too. And this is a game where I'm going to show, hey, I want to be playing in the playoffs. I want the coach to call my number. So if they want to prove something, they go out there and they play their butts off. And guess what? If I'm Mark Sanchez, I want to say, hey, guess what, Houston? Guess what, Jacksonville? I still got a little bit left in the tank. Give me a shot. Well, guess what, Dallas? I want a ring.
So what do you think the Eagles are looking to build on, Brian? Like, what going forward, you know?
I hope they stay where they're at. You know, they're in a good place right now. You know, the bottom of the division, the only team with no Super Bowl rings. The only thing they have, only ring they have is a ring pop. So I think that's really good. You know, they're glorified.
The bottom of the division.
They have glorified NFC NFC East championships. They have glorified NFC East championships. And, you know, guess what? FoxSports1340AM.com, you can find all the latest updates. One thing you won't find is Eagles made the playoffs. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. You won't see that for a while. Sorry, Corey and Mike.
The
shade is real. Listen.
You know, but they just had so much.
This is what we do.
I would have gave up on Cowboys Zone.
This is what we do on Cowboys Zone. And let me just say that me and Josh are we have no clue. This is a different kind of Brian we're talking to. No, I'm joking. This is really the real Brian, y'all. Like, no,
this
for
real.
This is the real Brian. Like, y'all getting it. It ain't for the show. This is what he do. So, listen, really quick. Again, you guys are tuning into Cowboys Zone with Ashley Baker, Josh Vincent, and Brian H. Waters, Mr. Main Event, who is giving all kind of shade on this show. Let's look at the NFC and the AFC playoff picture, y'all.
What's that?
The Packers. The Green Bay Packers have won 6 straight. You know, it seems like to me, gosh darn it, I'm going to have to put Aaron Rodgers in the shut the hell up club, Josh.
Uh-oh.
Because every time he says some catchy little phrase, these fools be balling. He says, I think we can run the table. And ever since he said, I think we can run the table at 6-4, I believe it was 6-4. They have won like 5 or 6 straight.
They have.
They get hot at the best time of the year. Really quick, 10 seconds, y'all, 10 seconds answers. Should Dallas be worried about the Packers? Brian.
Of course. Oh, it's my bad.
Oh, the Packers is a great redemption story. I'm going to just say it like this without answering your question. Dez Bryant makes the game-winning catch to send Dallas to Houston against the Green Bay Packers in Dallas.
Wait a minute, y'all. Brian, is that a vision? Is that a little bit of psychic that you got going
on? I think that's that Cavassier he sent us earlier talking. Listen, the Green Bay Packers. Listen, the Green Bay Packers, I stay here in Wisconsin. The Green Bay Packers, you got to be concerned about those guys. I tell you, those guys, as you mentioned, they won 5. That was my Wisconsin accent if you guys could hear me.
Yeah,
but in seriousness, though, because I know we're pressed for time, the Green Bay Packers, they are a serious team. Aaron Rodgers, those guys, Dirty Dolphin, Matt Ackland, Dix, all of those guys. You got to be concerned if you're Dallas. But the one thing about the Cowboys that I like, they take it week by week. I'm not worried about what they're doing up north in Wisconsin. I'm not worried about what they're doing out there in Seattle. I'm not really even worried about what's going on with New York. They have to do it one game at a time. But, yeah, great. But they better not. Trust me, if Aaron Rodgers get a chance to go back at Dak Prescott after Dak Prescott embarrassed him in Lambeau Field, he's going to make sure he have a great time in Dallas. And that's something to be watching out for. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as saying, hey, Dez Bryant's going to get the touch because I've still got a question mark. I haven't thrown up an X just yet.
Well,
I'm throwing up the X, God dang it.
I'll say this.
Don't do that.
Only a few have seen this Aaron Rodgers. Like, we know – If you watch football enough, you know what this Aaron Rodgers is capable of. And I'm talking about 5 or 6 games streak into the playoff Aaron Rodgers is capable of. You know what I'm saying? So that Aaron Rodgers that Dallas saw weeks ago, that's not this Aaron Rodgers. And that's just it is. This is a completely different Aaron Rodgers. So they're red hot. There's somebody, that's a team you need to pay attention to. Let's move to the AFC. Huge loss.
Real quick. Sorry, real quick. Who do you like better, Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning? They could beat in the first round.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going A-Rod.
Yeah, I'm going Rodgers. There's something. Listen, regardless of your hate or how you feel about Aaron Rodgers, and y'all know I said this at the beginning of the show, Cowboys Nation, again, you can crucify me if you want. Dallas is my squad, but my favorite player is Tom Brady. And as great as Tom Brady is, there is something that there's a special something that Aaron Rodgers has that nobody does, and that's just what it is. And so, I mean, I would never pick. I mean, even though what Aaron Rodgers has like one ring and Eli has two lucky rings, whatever. You know,
did he also choke against the Seahawks in the fourth quarter?
Who choked?
Aaron Rodgers. He couldn't put him away.
You're Aaron Rodgers hater.
I grew up a Packers fan.
Is that not the truth?
It's not the truth.
Look, I live right outside of Wisconsin. I live right outside of Wisconsin. I grew up a Packers fan.
listen, y'all playing. Listen, Josh is from Wisconsin, and Brian is a Wisconsin hater.
He's a Wisconsin hater.
I like the ball.
You don't like
him.
You don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Stop it. He don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Not ever since he started doing the gun salute when we lost to them. And that game against when Dennis Bryant caught the ball because it was a catch. It was a catch. But ever since then, I stopped liking Aaron Rodgers. And then I had to go to work the next day and hear Packers fans chant, "We them boys." No. You know?
No,
relax. R-E-L-A-X. Guess what? You relax at home, dig it.
So it seems as if there were two losses for the Oakland area. One happened to happen in Quicken Loans Arena out there in Cleveland, where the Golden State Warriors dropped the Christmas game to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then the Raiders,
the Raiders, man,
Derek Carr with a torn fibula. He is out for the year. That is really a heartbreaking story. I mean, they're sitting at 12-3 on the year, and they were definitely they were becoming favorites. I mean, nobody completely had them favorites over the Patriots, but they were becoming favorites. And you know, such a magical season that they are having. I mean, their season isn't over, but such a magical season they were having over in Oakland. So, I mean, what are your expectations of the Raiders now? 10 seconds, boys.
Go ahead. Oh, me first. Oh man. I don't really see the Raiders doing anything. I mean, that's just like they don't have a good backup as far as I know. So, I don't know. Maybe they have one of those Disney movie type comebacks where the team try to win the game for their lost fallen quarterback. But I mean, just the AFC is just a little too dominant for that with Tom Brady. Kansas City, you know, it's just a little too Steelers. It's just a little too dominant for that. It's just unfortunate for the Raiders because that was probably one of the best feel good stories in the NFL outside of Dak being the greatest thing we ever seen.
Oh goodness gracious! Okay, Brian, you Raiders. what are your expectations of the Raiders?
I can't wait to see what happens Sunday. This is a game where we must watch everybody on this team play. Yes. They are still playing. There is a possibility they can get the number 2 seed. I believe New England has the number 1 locked up, or maybe they don't.
No, they do not have the number 1 seed.
That would be so sweet. But we know it's not going to happen because everything great just has to happen to the Patriots, even though they just cheat all the time.
Oakland plays Denver this Sunday, by the way, folks. Oakland plays Denver. So.
Exactly. Okay. Oakland has something to play for. If I'm an Oakland Raiders fan, which I'm an Oakland Raiders supporter, having friends who work really close with that team, good, you know, a couple of my closer friends that I had when I was up north, I want to see their full squad play. I want to see Amari Cooper and their quarterback develop a connection. If that happens, he can possibly manage them to an AFC Championship showdown with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If not... Okay. They'll be out in the first round. Yes, you heard me. I said the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh. Well, listen.
I love these predictions. He's matter of fact.
These are matter of fact. He got it. Listen, hey, we may have to call him Mr. Cleo if this happens. As you mentioned, the Raiders have something to play for. They play Denver, who they have a super hangover because they were eliminated from the playoffs with their last game. Man, I mean, let me just say this. Was the move to get rid of Osweiler a good move Do you think that that was like kind of, was this like a karma thing for them maybe? Like, you know what I'm saying? The fact that, I don't know, like the kind of how they was shady towards Osweiler last year, even though they won the championship. And I'm pretty sure that that's kind of why Osweiler didn't really stay around in Denver. And you think this is kind of like karma with them? Because they really had a super hangover. I mean, they didn't even get back to the playoffs after their Super Bowl year.
Well, that would have went both ways because Osweiler got benched and he made he had $35 million guaranteed.
He got his money though.
With a guy, but yeah, he got replaced with a guy who was getting $350,000 guaranteed. So, you know, like I said, the karma could have went both ways. Maybe what you say is John Elway knew better. Now what I'll say is this. Maybe the karma came because all the stuff, the crooked stuff that Peyton Manning may have been doing. Maybe the karma came because John Elway decided, hey, I'm too good to go to Baltimore. I'm going to go play baseball if the Colts drafted me. Maybe the karma came.
What?
Maybe the karma came because they shouldn't have beat Cam and them anyway. And the way the league is.
Listen, that was,
is just
you know
ridiculous.
What?
That's real. Real quick.
I
good job.
That had no substance whatsoever.
<That's>
sorry.
That's fine. Listen, Josh, to the folks in D.C., here in the nation's capital where I myself reside, Skins win and they are
in.
Skins win and they are in. They play their division rival, the New York Giants. Who you think taking that game? You think the Skins are going to – they are in control of their own fate. If the Skins win, they are in. Do you think the Redskins will do what they're supposed to do Sunday?
I mean, the Redskins kind of remind me of the Chicago Bulls, right? The teams they should beat, they lose to. The teams they should they win.
Are you talking about this year's Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, this year. Right, yeah, they beat the Clint Cavaliers and the Spurs, but lost twice to the Bucks. But anyway, to make a quick point, I really hope the Skins win this game. I am a huge supporter of Sua Cravens. Yes, I told him to shut the hell up a couple of weeks ago, but we made amends, and now that's my homie. So I'm supporting Sua. I'm supporting Jordan Reed. I'm supporting Jackpot. I'm supporting the Redskins. I really want them to make it to the playoffs. Washington needs something. I mean, what else do they got? The Capitals, the Wizards. I mean, the subway system sucks. Like, I mean, they need something to be happy about.
Hey, I'll have you know that the subway system, the metro subway system in Washington, D.C., and you can look this up since we all like to make sure we have our facts correct, has been ranked the number one transit in the country. I don't know how. I'm a daily rider to work, and
they were ranked. I just
read an article like a week ago. They were ranked number one in the country for transit metro. DC metro, the DC metro.
Because anybody that's listening back in the DMV, I mean, y'all know what it is. I come from Chicago out there and cover games, and I'm just like, how does a whole train line not work? Oh, the yellow line is not running today. Who does that? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because,
only
you know,
in DMV. That's what they do.
The
that's what we do.
I love
in DMV.
It. I love it.
That's what we do. So I think that the Redskins.
You think they'll get that W? I mean, they should.
You know,
if they really want to make the playoffs, they should.
I think it's going to depend if the Giants decide to sit players because there are plenty of teams around the league that if they're already in, they're sitting players. I don't know. I believe that the Giants have way too much they need to work on to sit anybody. For the last couple of weeks, they can't put up more than 7 points. They can't score more than one touchdown. They're knocking it. They're doing field goals, and that's not going to win you playoff games when you're going against Philadelphia Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons, when you're going against Dallas, you know what I'm saying, they see us, or you're going against, you know, I mean, Seattle can't seem to put points on the board either. So, but when you're going against these kind of offenses, man, you have to be able to put points on the board, and they have too great of a wide receiving core to even be having this struggle. They don't have a running game, which is a problem. I don't know what Shane Vereen's status is, but, you know, they should be playing their starters on Sunday. So if that's the case, I do not anticipate the Redskins to win that game. If the Giants decide to sit starters at any point of the game, then I think that, that the Redskins would take that one. Would you say the same thing, Brian, real quick?
Oh, yeah. I got the Redskins winning this one. The Giants don't have nothing to play for.
Okay.
And, you know, OBJ will be making his playoff debut. You don't want to risk him getting hurt. I know people say you can't play football and be scared. I mean, personally, I would like to see the Giants play all their guys. But then again, do you want them playing all their guys? This could be a team that could get hot right now. So maybe you don't want them playing their guys. Maybe they get they slow down just a little bit. But I think if the Redskins have a chance to be winning, they're in. I think the Redskins, unfortunately, are in.
All right. Well, let me – we're closing down, guys, again. This is
right.
How we – so on Fox Sports 13:40 a.m., oh, my gosh, this has been – I knew this was going to be a dope show when I
this was a dope show
when I said Brian H. Wilders is going to be on the show. So let's go ahead and give out the AMVP, JMVP. And tonight, of course, because I –
don't we know who the
Brian
JMVP is already?
No, we do
be,
not.
Right. It's going to
no,
be the B – the BMVP. So the AMVP is going to, for me, it's actually going to Baby Megatron. I want him
what?
To be Baby Megatron so bad.
Don't you?
Dez Bryant, number 88.
Don't
he had a day.
Him
he
by
had
calling
a day.
Him Baby Megatron.
I really want him to be Baby Megatron. He had
he's,
a day
he's
against.
Better.
He had a day against the Lions again. As I mentioned earlier, 4 receptions for 70 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he threw one. I believe it was maybe like a 9-yard touchdown to Jason Witten.
Yeah, 10 yards.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I mean, he had a day. I believe that, you know, as I said earlier going forward, that this is, you know, dominant Dez. We'll be seeing him again. So who's your JMVP, Josh?
You let Brian go first. You know, we had company. Go ahead, Brian, because I like
well,
to
ladies
have last
first,
minute.
So that's why I went first. So go ahead, company.
Yeah, go ahead, company.
You'll have you'll have to explain why you went first, Miss First Lady of Fox Sports 1340am.com.
I'm trying. Which
I can't wait to see some more blogs and articles and thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys.
Dude, who's your BMVP? Who's
first of all, we're going to call them. I'm going to change this to the BMVP because that just sounds weird. I'm going to call him the main event player. And the main event player was none other than Mr. Dez Bryant.
Okay.
And I will not call him
hey.
Baby Megatron because Baby Megatron is disrespectful. Because if you look at the statistics, Dez Bryant has some of the more touchdowns in a season sometimes. Dez Bryant will have the better numbers at the end of his career, people say, because Megatron retired. It doesn't matter. Dez Bryant is the one who shines bright under the stars.
When I
and
say
so
Baby
I just
Megatron,
like everybody to
so
drink
listen, it. When I say Baby he, Megatron, I'm not talking about, like, his numbers. I mean, like, he need to be on some grown man stuff like Megatron
right.
was, like Calvin
that.
Johnson was. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. Like, he ain't got there yet. Once he get to be, like, grown man stuff, then I'll be like, you know, hey, this is Mr. Bryant.
Can
this
I
is Mr. Throw Up the X.
But
right
I
now, he Baby Megatron.
One question. Can
okay.
I ask you one question? No, I'm asking you two. How many division titles did Megatron have? How many playoff wins did Megatron have?
You asked
exactly.
me how many rings he got, too.
Might as well.
Well,
right.
you already
I mean, you
know
might as well.
If you ain't got no playoff wins, you ain't got no ring. Because guess what? Records don't mean a thing without a ring. Ask
okay.
the Golden State Warriors.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So.
Y'all, you know what? Y'all are not getting invited to nobody's party, it sounds like. Y'all have been real shady.
Hey,
right,
man, that's cool.
Who's your JMVP, Josh?
Can I phone a friend real quick? I know we, like, really pressed for time, but can I – just for the heck of it, can I –
No,
can I
you're not phoning a friend because I know who you about to phone. I know where this is going. I already know where this is
okay.
going.
I'll make it quick. Dak.
Go ahead.
I mean, Dak, Rain Dakota Prescott. Like, come on, guys, 15 for 20. Do you know everybody –
Hey, Belly.
Hey, how
hey.
You doing?
Hey,
I just
Billy.
Want to say,
Belly
how
Brian,
doing?
Brian Billy, this is
I,
Billy Joe Brian.
Oh
I mean,
Lord,
how you doing? I'm
you
Billy Joe. I'm Billy Joe.
No,
I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana, and I just want to say that I mean, he was 15 for 20 from the field, but you know that's passing if you were taking a final. And I love Dak, and I just want Dak to be successful. And it's not the Cowboys without him. So Dak is going to always be the MVP. It was the best there ever is, the best there ever was, and the best there ever will be. Shout out to Bret Hart.
Thanks, Billy Joe.
If you guys can hear it from Billy Joe, Dak Prescott, Rain Dakota, that's who my JMVP to. Shout out to his brother Tab for helping us with his story. We did an amazing story on him.
Where can you find it?
We can find it on Fox Sports, 1340 AM. The DMV's, the Mid-Atlantic's number one source for all things Dallas Cowboys. All things. That's how y'all talk out there. All things Dallas Cowboys. We are out here. We going to wrap up the show, Ashley. We're going to wrap it up. But Dak Prescott deserves to be everybody MVP. He never threw up a question mark because we always knew where he was at. So that's my wrap on that. DakPrescott.com.
Two votes for Dez Bryant. One vote, of course, week in and week out for Dak Prescott coming from Josh. So, listen, we are signing off, guys. Josh, I need you to go ahead and shout my folks out in Texas, you know,
for
that
sure,
are so faithful that listen to us, man.
Hey, shout out to Denton. They've been showing us a lot of love. Denton, Texas, Lewisburg, Fort Worth, everybody over there at TCU University. Shout out to SMU University. We was talking about the guy from the Rams earlier. I just realized he went to SMU, so shout out to him. Everybody, Dallas, Fort Worth, the whole DMV Metroplex, all 10 counties, thank you again, seriously, for making Fox Sports 1340 AM a station on the Eastern Seaboard. Your thoughts for all things Cowboys information, we greatly appreciate it, whether it's Brian, myself, or Ashley. We just want to provide you with the best content in the world. And Fox Sports 1340 AM, one more time, Fox Sports 1340 AM, WHAP, dog, WHAP, we out here.
Let me just give a special shout out to Mr. Main Event himself, Mr. Brian H. Waters. Thank you so much, seriously, Brian, for gracing us with your presence on this show, man. It was it was interesting. So thank you so much for being on. We are definitely gonna have you on again, possibly next week. So you might want to clear your schedule. Is there anything you want to say? You guys make sure you follow all of us on our platforms. Brian, give them your social media information so we can make sure that, you know, the fans are keeping up with you.
It's so easy. It's at Brian H. Waters on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook is Mr. Main Event Brian H. Waters. Make sure you like the fan page. And if you're not creepy, I accept you as a friend on my Facebook page. And if guess what? You know what? We got to tell the people. There is a fan page, group page, Fox Talk Sports with Fox Sports 1340 AM.
Where
you know you can just sit on there and talk to us. Because guess what? We're not like all these other publications where we don't believe in talking to the fans. We like interacting with each and everybody at 1340 AM Fox Sports, where you'll see Ashley's creative tweets and emojis.
That's me. When you guys see the emojis on our timeline, it's me. Most of the time, it's me. You can reach me, moi, of course. Ashley Baker underscore 21. That is my Twitter handle. Make sure you guys, you know, again, tweet, you know, questions that you guys want us to answer on the show. Josh, your Twitter handle and your social media information, if you will, sir.
Sure. Real quick, the Josh A. Vinson, T-H-E, Josh A-V-I-N-S-O-N. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well, Jay Vinson, 773-414. That's where you can find me at.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you guys again for listening in to Cowboy Zone, Fox Sports, 1340am.com. We will see you guys, hopefully, we will talk to you guys, hopefully, on another Victory Monday, perhaps. We don't know.
Perhaps.
We'll see. But we will definitely talk to you guys soon. And again, thank you
guys.
We
got four more victories coming.
Oh, yeah, four more victories.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. Thank you guys so much.